All right, church, we are continuing in a wonderful series, Character Studies in the Old Testament, and we are in Joseph. And even as I was thinking, I was reading on 1 Corinthians devotionally this week, I thought about, which we'll be coming up on shortly, I would imagine, Joseph's own, how he had to wrestle with the sexual immorality of his day, as I'm sure we'll get to that at some point. But he had, every generation has had to wrestle with it, and that God has made a way, amen, for us to glorify God in our bodies. And Joseph said, how could I sin against God who has given me this body? How could I sin against him? And so he understood somehow that he was to bring glory to God in his body. Amen. Well, Brother Moses has been bringing this series and enriching us and just blessing us. Amen. Thank you. Brother Moses, come on, brother, and just pour out what God has filled your heart with to the glory of God, we pray. Amen. Amen. And Father of all glory, Father of all praise, Father of all worship and honor, we bless you even as we come in your presence once again this afternoon. We thank you for the opportunity to break your word together and to learn from you. We thank you for the gift of fellowship, the gift of family. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who quickens our understanding to comprehend that which you have for us in your word. And now, Lord, we pray that as we once again break the word, that your Spirit will reveal to each one of us that which you want us to take away from this place. Lord, we are diverse people. We are people who have come before you because we believe in you. And together in you, we are one. And we say, Lord, speak to each one of us, that each one of us will go away with that which you want us to carry. And that the Holy Spirit will keep reminding us in the week that which you wanted us to learn. And that, Father, when we encounter situations and circumstances, that the Holy Spirit will use that word to bless us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Good afternoon, church, once again, and I am very delighted in the name of Jesus Christ to share with us the Word of God one more time. And for those who are new to our church, you're very welcome. We are glad to see visitors and friends. You're very welcome. Let's give them a hand clap. We are delighted in the Lord, and we want to encourage you to keep coming. This is a very convenient church in terms of time. And for teenagers who want to sleep in, this is your best church because you get to sleep in. But then you don't miss church because once you finish your breakfast, or is it brunch, then you head right to church. And when you are tired, it is time for dinner. Hallelujah. So encourage as many young people out there and tell them there is a wonderful opportunity in town. And the opportunity in town is you can sleep in, and you still go to church, and you'll not miss it. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. God is good. We pick up the story of Joseph at a very interesting time. Just as a way of a quick reminder, rejoinder, you will all remember that the last time we talked about Joseph, we concluded when Joseph was wandering. He had lost direction of where his brothers were at. He didn't know where to go. He knew a particular place. He suspected he would find them. But he got to that place and the brothers were not there. And he was lost. And he didn't know what to do. And it was at that time that the Lord sent an angel to meet him. And we concluded by saying that many of us are wandering. Each one of us, you know, somehow in your mind, somehow in your ways, you're wandering. You don't know. There are maybe some decisions you made and you knew this is the Lord. You prayed and you thanked God that he gave you a house. Hallelujah. And now you're looking for a closure in the face and you're saying, was it the Lord? Was it me? and you don't know where to go. And many of us are in similar positions. And sometimes you're wondering, you're saying, Lord, where are you in all this? I don't know, I don't see you. And we say, the Lord will send you the man. The man who will come and find you in that moment when you need him. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will meet you at that point of need. When you're lost, when you're scattered, when your mind is distressed, when you don't know where to go, the Lord will surely find you. The important thing for us is never to lose our focus on the Lord. And so we pick up the story in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. And we will be picking it up around verse 25. If you can turn to your Bibles in the book of Genesis. Pastor, if you can read for us, start from verse 23.
So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal.
Let's hold it there for a while. And I'm going to be breaking it down in pieces. Joseph is taking food to his brothers. Joseph is going to his brothers. Joseph has been commissioned or sent by his father to go and meet his brothers. And Joseph comes to his brothers. And when you're going to meet your brothers and you haven't seen them in a while, you're going with joy, right? You're going with expectation, with excitement. Right. You're going knowing that by the time you meet your brothers, it is going to be fellowship. You're expecting hugs. And Joseph gets to his brothers, and instead of getting hugs, he's roughed up. He's bound up. And the Bible says they bound him and stripped him of his best. We live in a world which enjoys stripping you of your best. It doesn't matter whether it's your academic titles. It doesn't matter whether it's your spiritual attainment. It doesn't matter whether it is your political prowess. It doesn't matter what it is. We live in a world that delights in stripping you. And if they can strip you, the more they can strip you, the better they will feel sometimes. Joseph, his best was his coat of many colors. I don't know what your coat of many colors is. It may be your titles. I'm John James, PhD, you know? And the moment you introduce yourself, and sometimes people will want to introduce themselves so you can get intimidated. But the world stripped Joseph of his best. I don't know what your best is today, in which you are hiding, in which you are trusting, that which gives you the confidence, that which makes you happiest. And it was not strangers stripping him. It was brothers. Family. No wonder Jesus said the person's enemies will be those of his own household. And there are times when people in your very household have left you wondering whether they are family or foe. Stripping you bare. And how often do we strip each other? Somebody wants to shine in a little bit of glory, you know, they've done something good, you know, and we strip them. It reminds me of a story. A young boy who used to go to school and he struggled. In class, he struggled. And if you come from a family like mine, every time you come back home, I want to see the grades, right? And if the grades don't read a particular way, we have to talk about the whys and the hows. You know, how are we going to improve this next time? So this boy, every time he came home, he did not want to show his father his report. Because the report was horrible. And every time he showed it to his father, the response was not the best. So this particular time, the boy got his report at school. And my goodness, the A's and B's were there. He didn't even fold it to put it in an envelope. He carried the whole piece of paper in his hands to go and meet his father. And he went, and when he met his father, the father asked him, "My son, how did it happen?" And he said, "Father, it didn't happen. I happened it." The father could not understand that the boy happened it. But how many times do we strip people of the little they have happened in their lives? And how many times have you probably been left wounded because people were taking away the little that you had happened? After they have stripped their brother, they discuss killing him. Anyway, one of them says, no, don't shed blood. And guess who said that? Judah. Let's not shed blood. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Reuben said it because he wanted to save him. And Judah says to them, "Let's sell him." And then the Bible says they sat down to have their meal. Oh! They sat down to have their meal with their brother in the hall. They are eating the food. They are enjoying. They are celebrating, literally celebrating the young man's death. Right. They've thrown him in the system and they're having a meal. Isn't it sad? Isn't it terrible? Are there times when you have felt people celebrating your downfall, and they've left you feeling completely devastated? They sat down to eat. But thank God, the cistern was empty. Thank God, the cistern was empty. What if it had water? He would have died. And there are situations that we have found ourselves in. And we'll concentrate on the bad things around us and we don't see the good in it. It's very easy to see the fact that Joseph was in the pit. And we don't see the fact that, thank God, it was dry. You may be in a difficult situation. Is there something that you can see good in that difficult situation? Mm-hmm. There are moments when it is very difficult to praise God, to worship God. Say, why worship God? There are moments you feel so dry because your mind is focusing on all the negative things around you. Now, this is not working. This is not happening. This is not adding up now. This is not falling in place. Is there something positive that you can see in that situation and worship the Lord? Thank God there was no water. And the Bible is very, very keen to tell us there was no water. So we can praise God. There was no water. Let's move on. Verse 25.
And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver.
Let's hold it there. Do you see the picture of Jesus Christ here? Do you see the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? taken by his brothers, thrown in a pit. That's like the grave. That's like the grave. Nobody had measured to see how deep that cistern was. They didn't know. They just knew there's a cistern there. They threw him in. What if he got there, found quicksand, disappeared? Thrown in the grave. Then they see some Midianites and they say, let's sell him to them. The Bible uses the Midianites and Ishmaelites interchangeably in this story. So I want to believe that the Ishmaelites were also somehow mixed up with the Midianites. And the Bible says they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Our Lord was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Very much like the Lord Jesus Christ. They threw him in the pit. They sold him. Very interesting. What were they carrying? They were carrying spices. They were carrying balm. They were carrying myrrh. Look at in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. What did the Magi or the wise men bring when Jesus was born? They brought similar things. Frankincense, myrrh. They brought similar things. And myrrh and spices are good things. You know, spices are good. Each one of us, you know, Pastor was talking about food for the body. Food for the body. The more spices you have in there, sometimes the better for the body, right? Or for your nose at least. Because then it attracts you to the body. Right. Joseph is sold by his own brothers. Very much like Jesus. Forgotten. Kept there. His cloth has been taken. Very much like Jesus. They took his cloth. They took his cloth. Right. Very much like Jesus. Abandoned by his own. Pulling him out of the cistern is symbolic of resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And look at the statement that Reuben makes when he comes and finds the boy is not in the pit. He says, oh my goodness, the boy is not there. Where shall I turn to? When Mary Magdalene went to the grave of Jesus Christ, and she did not find him. And she was crying. In the book of John, the Bible says, and Jesus stood behind her and called Mary. Woman. And she turns and looks at him and says, tell me, where have you taken him? Where do I go to find him? Very much like the story of Jesus. But look at Reuben. Reuben, in that cry, has a sense of failure. He's the firstborn son. He's supposed to be protecting the youngest born son. How on earth did my youngest brother disappear from me? Where was I? How do I go to face my father? Young people, come on. You look out for each other. Come on. Help us. If you are the elder brother, you look out for the younger. How about those of us who have been walking with Christ for a while? Yeah. Do we look out for those who are younger? Yeah. Can we look out for each other? Reuben's sense of failure. My responsibilities. I have failed. And I know that each one of us have got moments where you felt, did I just fail in my responsibilities? That was my responsibility. What should I have done? Could I have done better? Yeah. But sometimes we all fail. And then they go home. Let's pick up the story.
So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn in pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him.
Listen, I read this story and I can't imagine. These are about what? 10 brothers? And they all agree, we are going to tell a lie. We are going to tell our father that his son has been torn to pieces by a wild animal. And then they sit to watch the opera as their father tears himself to pieces. As he cries, they are watching. I don't know what they must have been thinking about, and whether they were looking at each other, and you know the way you look at each other at an angle and you don't want people to know you're looking at each other, but you are farming or somehow communicating. And their father is mourning for days. And then they get up to go and comfort him. And they know it's a lie. They know it's a lie, but they're trying to make it true. There are things that we know are not true. And yet, we really try to make them true. And you know it's not true. But you know the thing about lies is the more you tell a lie, the more you actually begin to believe it. It begins off as a lie and then it becomes truth and you begin to believe it and you confirm it and you prove it to yourself and eventually it becomes truth in your mind. And to these men, it was actually true. Joseph had died. And he had been eaten by a wild animal. And by miracle, by chance, or by some, I don't know what appointment, they found his coat. No single bone, nothing. But the coat was removed. This must have been a wonderful wild animal. It can't have been a lion. It undressed him. Because the coat is not torn. And the bones came out. And it ate the young man. And somehow these people found it. And they brought it to their father. You know, to them it was not even loss. No. To them, whom are they comforting? Their father is the only one who lost. They didn't lose. Does that sometimes happen in our church? Where Christians disappear from the church? And we comfort God about it. God, it's your children who have gone. But we're not, Lord, it's not my issue. I'm not. Lord, those were your believers, Lord. They were your Christians. Does the Lord expect us to sometimes feel the loss, feel the pain, and go on our knees on behalf of some brother or some sister that we haven't seen in church in a while? Lord, I don't know why they don't come to church anymore. But Father, I pray for them. If they are going through some very difficult circumstance, Father, uphold them. Stand with them. If they are dealing with some issue, quicken it for them, Lord, and then bring them to church so we can have fellowship together. A challenge for us to look out for one another. Amen. But these brothers, they sold their brother. He's gone. He's gone. There's a very interesting message here for all of us. that human disappointments are oftentimes divine appointments. Human disappointments are oftentimes divine appointments. As far as Joseph is concerned, the end of his life has begun. From a dreamer who dreamt sitting down and his brothers bowing before him and his mother bowing before him, he's now sold to the Ishmaelites, people who are from a different context altogether. That's the end. His dreams are gone, right? Is he going to ever fulfill those dreams anywhere? Where from? Where will he even find his brothers to bow before him? This is the bowing? Instead of bowing before him, they are burying him. And sometimes we feel like, my dreams are over. My life is over here right now. My life is gone. You don't understand. My life is shattered. Don't even talk to me. That feeling is so normal. There are days you just feel you don't want to talk to anybody, right? Your life is shattered. Everything has ended. Don't talk to me. Lock your door. You want to be locked up there forever. But thank God that he brought hunger. So you feel hungry, so you have to go to the fridge. People will find you at least going to the microwave, right? And you know, today people don't know how to live in a community. People are so lonely out there. Life is meaningless for many people. And there are many people that have lost it. It's just gone. I believe Joseph was feeling like that at this particular time. He was like, I'm only 17 years old. I was hoping that one day my brothers are going to come and bow before me. Now they've sold me. Now I'm gone. I have no hope. I don't know whether there's anybody here who sometimes feels there's no hope. Probably not. Probably I'm the only one. But sometimes you ask yourself and say, no, that's not what I intended. No, that's not what I thought. No, that's not what I was planning for. But something else has swept you off your feet. Can I encourage you? That when those human disappointments increase, look for the divine appointment in that situation. There must be a divine appointment in that situation. Joseph could not see the divine appointment, but I want to believe that inside of him, the Spirit of God was witnessing that this was not the end. Humanly speaking, it is over. Divinely speaking, it is not over. And it is never over until God says, it is over. And when God says it is over, you will be lying on your back. But until you're lying on your back, with closed eyes, it's not over. Hallelujah. It is not over. The Lord is up to something. The Lord is steering Joseph in a particular direction. And to get Joseph to where the fulfillment of God's purposes will be, Joseph had to go to the pit. He had to. If he didn't go to the pit, he was never going to be sold to the Midianites. I don't think he was in the pit dancing. You dance over me. No, no, no. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 that's all. Yeah? I'm sure he probably may have been singing, Lord, you put my feet on what? On firm ground? I don't know. It was, Lord, how long am I going to be here? What is next for me? And I know that sometimes we're in the pit and life is so difficult. And I know that today many people are in the pit. It could be an economic pit. It could be a financial pit. It could be a social pit. It could be whatever pit it is. You're deep down there. And there's just no hope. The way to glory is often down and up. Our Lord Jesus had to go down in order to go up. He had to come down. And it was not enough for him to come to the earth. He came to the earth and he went to the grave. Joseph came. They took him to the pit. And it is over. I don't know if I can encourage somebody to know, if you are in the pit, it's not over. That is not the end. The Lord is steering you in a particular direction. And then look, they take him out of the pit. They sell him to Midianites. He has become a commodity. He has become a commodity. I was my father's best son. I was my father's most loved child. I had the best coat. Now they are selling me without a coat. And of course, without that coat, his value went down, right? They were not very wise. They were not very intelligent businessmen, these guys. They were very intelligent businessmen, because if you want to sell something, guess what they do these days? They package it so well. And sometimes what you saw on television, oh my goodness, then you go and buy it and you get it and say, what I saw on TV and what I have are two different things. And they packaged it so well, but you paid a good price, right? If they had left him in his multicolored coat, I'm sure they would have fetched a little bit more money. But, you know, those days there were no professors of economics, so nobody would have taught them to keep the coat on, because if they had kept the coat on, they would have made some more money. But unfortunately, then they would have had no evidence for their father. They needed the evidence, right? Right. Joseph is taken and sold to Potiphar. Let's go to chapter 39.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian.
Let's hold it there for a while. One of the most exciting phrases of this story. The Lord was with Joseph. I may be in the pit. I may be sold as a slave. I may be going without food, but the Lord is with me. I may be going through divorce, but the Lord is with me. Things may not be adding up, but the Lord is with me. And if you lose everything else, don't lose the connection with the Lord. Lord, even in this situation, Lord, don't leave me alone, Lord. And don't let me leave you, Father. Hold me close, Lord. It is tough, but hold me close, Lord. And the mistake many people make is when they are going through difficult times, that's when they abandon the Lord. That's when they don't want church. That's when they don't want fellowship. That's when they don't want anybody to know where they are. That's a mistake. That's when you really need the Lord. The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And not only that, he was a successful slave. The Bible says, he made him a successful man in everything. As a slave. Now sometimes, you don't want the slavery, do you? Ah, Lord, is this the job you want me to be doing, Lord? Lord, I was talking to a friend who told me after he worked, he came away with a cold. Lord, is this what you want me to be doing? That I get away with a cold? The Lord says, even as a slave, he made him successful. Are there things you don't want to do, but the Lord wants you to go through them? Our prayer, Father, give me the grace to go through them. Some situations will not be easy. They will not. But Joseph prospered as a slave. Let's read on.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him.
His master! This is my challenge. How many of us can testify and say, my neighbors see that the Lord is with me? Don't talk to any of my neighbors. They all see that the Lord is with me. They know it. All my workmates, they know. All the people from whom I go to buy things in the supermarket, they know. They see. I'm told Francis prayed, St. Francis prayed and said, advise people and said, share the gospel. Preach the gospel. And when necessary, use words. And how difficult it can be to preach the gospel so that people can see. Just for people to look and they know there is a difference in that life. Joseph was one person. His boss looked at him and he saw that God was with him. And then the story that most of us know comes. Verse 2, let's read on.
The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside." And so it was, when his master heard the words of his wife, which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison.
First of all, it was the pit. And now, it is a case of rape, or attempted rape. In my mind, I believe a case like this in Egypt was punishable by death. Joseph must have been very fortunate that he had found favor in the eyes of Potiphar. And because he had found favor in the eyes of Potiphar, instead of putting him to death, he imprisoned him together with the people who are imprisoned from the king's palace. Now look at the situation. Let's unpack this a little bit. Joseph was facing, was it opportunity or calamity? In many ways, Joseph must have been facing opportunity, right? It looked like opportunity. Right? Oh my goodness. Where will you get such an opportunity? To be loved by the wife of the second in command in the kingdom of Egypt or whatever he was. I don't know whether he was second in command or third in command. And how often the devil whispers to us, this is an opportunity. And there are things that have looked like opportunity when actually they concealed calamity. There are things that looked attractive when actually they were not that attractive. Samson and Delilah. She looked attractive, and her, his father said, "No, we cannot get you this woman." And he said, "If you don't get me this woman, there is going to be trouble in the land." And poor old man, knowing what his son was made of, said, "There you are." And Delilah looked like an opportunity. Young people, sometimes you see opportunities. And the parents will say, according to what we know and see and believe, "No. No, but the guy is good. You know, he's cool, Dad." "No. No, but mommy, she's cute, you know. Look at the way she walks." The mommy will say, "No." It may look like an opportunity, but it's calamity, hidden and waiting to happen. And how many times do we go to the Lord and plead with the Lord to give us certain things? And the Lord says, "No." And you say, "Lord, you don't like me. Lord, you don't even hear me. No, Lord, I don't even believe you anymore. Since you haven't given me, I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to get what I'm asking you, and then I will ask you to confirm it." Each one of us, there are things we've gone to the Lord and said, "Father, give me." And the Father has said, "No." And we said, "Lord, if you're not bringing it, I'll go get it, and then I'll tell you about it, and then I'll ask you to confirm it. You'll understand, Lord, fine. Thank you, Lord." Amen? Amen. But Joseph, the Spirit of God in Joseph was able to give him wisdom to know what was an opportunity and what was not an opportunity. Because some things look like opportunities when actually they are calamities in waiting. Right.
And then just look at Mrs. Potiphar. I mean, this lady must have had a great weakness. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know whether Joseph was the first young man to attract her beyond her husband. And very many of us will quickly blame Mrs. Potiphar, right? Come on, she was a weak woman. Come on, she was not serious. You have such a wonderful husband. He's done everything for you, you know. And, but is it possible that each one of us has a weakness we are struggling with, which oftentimes keeps knocking at our door? It may not even be attraction to the opposite sex. It may be something else. It may be food. It may be as simple as food. It may be sleep. Just sleeping. Say, Lord, you give your loved one sleep, Lord. I'll even sleep through the sermon. Because, Lord, you give your loved one sleep. Amen? What is that weakness that could be the entry point for Lucifer in your life, in the life of your family? Of course, Joseph, being a young man who reveres God and respects his boss, he says no. And he runs. He flees. And as he runs, he leaves his coat behind because he's running and she's holding the coat. What is it that you and I must be willing to leave behind? What is it the Lord is asking us to leave behind? That which keeps attracting us, or that which keeps attracting the devil to us. Joseph's father had given him a coat of multicolors. Potiphar had given him a coat. I don't know whether it had multicolors, but it was an attractive coat. Attractive enough to attract his wife. And that coat, we need to leave it and run. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. But there are times when instead of the devil fleeing, you have to flee. There are times when the devil is not going to flee. He's pursuing. And you say, they're going in Jesus' name, and he's coming close. I resist you, devil, and he's coming closer. And if it is a movie, it is getting better, and you're becoming more attracted, and you're getting closer to the television. As though you can't hear and see what is happening. You want even to put your ear right on the speaker. And the Lord is saying, flee. 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 Throw away the remote. Throw it away. And you're saying, Lord, no, the remote is so good. It makes it easier for me to switch. What is it that the Lord is asking you to throw off and run? It may be a real opportunity. It looks like this is it. I've always wanted it. The Lord is saying, throw and run. And then comes the devil's report. He says, Potiphar waits for her husband with the coat ready in her hands. And she has this story. Honey,
brought us these Hebrews? They are terrible. These Christians, they are horrible. Ever since the church came to our neighborhood, all our children are spoiled.
What? You know, when I gave my life to Christ as a young man in secondary school, somebody went home and told my father, your son, he's not going to pass any exam. All the time he's praying. He's in charge, he's in charge, he's not reading. And my father was a teacher, so he had his own way of finding out whether his son is reading or he's just praying and going to church. End of the term, we called it term, we didn't have semesters, we had terms. I got home, my father looked at my report, he was pleased with it. He told me what he had been told, but he said, I know that you're reading, and I'm confident. And then, of course, the time I should have been running around the village doing all sorts of unwanted things, I was home doing my chores, and whenever I had a little bit of time, I read my books. And then the only time I was not home, I was not reading my books, I was going to church. My father, being an educator, I think he wanted such a son. But the devil's report, and I'm sure each one of us here, maybe the devil is busy getting a report on you at your place of work. That lady, that gentleman, that Mrs. Potiphar had a report. And the report was, this Hebrew, he came here to abuse us. Look, he was trying to catch me. Are you right? Are you sure? Yes, she was. And Mr. Potiphar was caught in dilemma. The Joseph he knew, and the Joseph he's being told about, these are two Josephs. But he had nothing to do. He either keeps his family and his integrity, or keeps the Hebrew. He decides the Hebrew will go. But again, remember what we said at the beginning. Human disappointments are oftentimes divine appointment. How else was Joseph going to move out of slavery to reach the presence of the king if he had remained in Potiphar's house heading all the slaves? And you know, comfort zones. Each one of us, we have comfort zones, right? Lord, it is so comfortable here. I have arrived, I've reached. And the Lord brings turbulent waters, and you don't know where these turbulent waters are coming from. And you're saying, Lord, I am doing my work. I deliver my reports. I am doing everything. Right. And for some reason, your boss never sees any good about you. Completely. Completely. And he decides in his heart, that's it. You are going to go. I don't want you. And you're saying, boss, what happened? And the Lord is looking from his heaven and saying, I know where I'm taking you. Hallelujah. Amen. I know where I'm taking you. But the honest path is to believe in the Lord and say, Lord, true, you are taking me somewhere. Lord, you can't be taking me somewhere. Now I'm losing my house. Now I'm losing this. Now, Lord, now look at this. It could be a sickness. It could be a sickness. And you don't understand. They have prayed for you. And you've prayed all the prayers on the internet. There's one that is circulating now by, is it a Jamaican lady? What do they call it? The atomic power of prayer. Oh my goodness, you should listen to the atomic power of prayer. You break down all the iron gates and iron membranes. You know? And you say, Lord, why? What is happening? It may be a wayward child. You don't understand why your child is saying and doing certain things. It may be your spouse. You just don't understand him. You just don't understand her. I know situations where spouses have just packed up and walked out. And you don't know. What did I do wrong? Is it me? And you have nobody to ask because he's gone away. Or she has gone away. But the Lord says, I know. I know. I'm taking you to that point where your dreams of your brothers bowing before you, of your father and mother bowing before you will be fulfilled. Just depend on me. And say, Lord, no, it can't be. Let's read on and finish chapter 39.
But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison.
Listen, friends, and this is going to be our prayer point. As I draw to the conclusion, again, the Bible reminds us, but the Lord was with Joseph. In the pit, but the Lord was with Joseph. And with the Midianites, but the Lord was with Joseph. In Potiphar's house, but the Lord was with Joseph. And now in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. The blessing of the Lord will follow you. It has no boundaries. It doesn't. Let me tell you, if they lay you off your work today because of the blessing of the Lord on your life, whatever else you are going to do, the blessing of the Lord will follow you. The blessing of the Lord will follow you. And once the blessing of the Lord follows you, and that's my prayer, Father, let the blessing of the Lord accompany me wherever I go. Father, let the blessing of the Lord accompany me. This morning as I wake up, Lord, let the blessing of the Lord accompany me. Father, in this difficult situation, let the blessing of the Lord accompany me. Father, when they misunderstand me, let the blessing of the Lord accompany me. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord was with Joseph. Blessing of the Lord was with Joseph. And he found favor. And the Bible says, and the Lord showed him kindness. Read for us.
But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper.
That's my prayer.
Yeah.
And let me conclude with these five prayer points that I want us to spend some time in prayer about. Number one, for the Lord to turn every disappointment you have had into a divine appointment. Yeah. Or maybe he has already turned it for the confirmation to come in your life. For that clarity to come. That what the world calls failure in me today will become an opportunity for God to show himself strong.
That whatever situation and circumstance you find yourself in today,
it will become a source of praise for God.
Mm-hmm.
It will become a song of worship. Number one. Number two, the presence of God went with Joseph. Wherever he went, the Lord was with him.
Mm.
One of my best prayers in the Bible is a prayer by my namesake called Moses. Moses prayed to the Lord in the book of Exodus and said, Lord, if you do not go with us, don't take us there. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Ask the Lord to go there with you. Father, it may be a business deal. It may be a business meeting. It may be as simple as a game you're going to play. And you know I always go play games and come back home. There's this friend of mine who went to play soccer. He always played soccer. He was a very good soccer player. And he went to play soccer that day. And when the goalkeeper came to catch the ball, instead of catching the ball, he caught his leg. And the leg got twisted. And the next time this young man woke up, they had cut off his leg in hospital. Because it got gangrene just like that. It may be as simple as that. Lord, go with me. You may be driving. How many of us jump into our cars and it is obvious? You just start it. And if it breaks down on the road, there's insurance, right? Lord, go with me. Father, go with me. Then if you don't have the time to kneel down and pray an elaborate prayer,
right.
Father,
yes.
Let your presence go with us. As you go through that examination or test or SOL, whatever it is, Father, go with us. As you come to church, Father, let your presence go with us. Number three, for God to give us wisdom and the strength to separate opportunities from pseudo opportunities. There are real opportunities and pseudo opportunities, which are basically calamities dressed like opportunities. May the Lord give us wisdom to decipher, to separate between real opportunities and calamities which are presented as opportunities by the devil. God's favor and blessing to accompany us in all that we do. You know, when the blessing of God is upon what you're doing, when the blessing of God was upon the salads that Daniel ate, he looked healthier than those who were eating burgers. He looked healthier than those who were drinking wines from the king's palace. Because the favor of God and the blessing of God was on everything that he did. And the Bible says, the Lord made him successful. Success is not a function of what you and I do. Success is a function of God granting us the success. There are many people that go out there and they assume, you know what, I know how to fix that. And probably that's one of the challenges we have. We need more people praying and asking God to fix the economy for us. Mm-hmm. We need more people praying and asking God to fix issues for us. We need more people praying and asking God to intervene in the affairs of our country.
Yes.
We need more people praying and asking God to come and lead than us thinking, oh, I know it. I can do it. It is not I. It is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the Lord granted Joseph success in all he did. It could be an exam. It could be a marriage. It could be a business. It could be something you already do. Raising children. It's the Lord who will grant us the success.
Yes.
I want us to just spend a few minutes in prayer together. And that has been our practice lately. If I can ask you to walk, join me at the front here. And let's just spend some time praying over these five things that were at work in the life of Joseph, that the Lord may grant us these five things in our life as we follow him and as we serve him. If we can just join together, let's just join together. What I'll do is let me ask five volunteers. Let me get five volunteers. Who would like to volunteer to lead us in praying over each of these items? Pastor Pat will lead us. What do you want to pray over, Pastor? Anything. Pastor Pat will be leading us in prayer. Who, another volunteer? I want some volunteers who will lead us. And then we all pray with you. Sister Diane, you will lead us in praying. Who else? I want volunteers. I'll tell you what the five things are. Our disappointment to become divine appointment, the presence of God to go with us, wisdom and strength to tell real opportunities from pseudo opportunities that are real calamities waiting to happen, the favor and blessing of God to go with us, and for God to grant us success. Can I get two more, three more volunteers, please? I love it when people pray. When we and I'm stirring us up to pray together. And I know people say, let the Spirit lead them in. The Spirit will be leading. But I want to know that there are people out there who are going to pray with us. Can I get three, four people, two, three others? No, it does. Prayer is just telling God, talking to God. Just bring it to the Lord. Pastor Bill. Amen. Hallelujah. I guess I'm looking for one more. Oh, Brother Carl, thank you very much. Let's get together. Brother Carl.